So, the title of my message this morning is Easter 2021, Holy Week. Today marks the beginning of what we call on the Christian calendar, Holy Week. And there are a number of major events that we celebrate or commemorate or remember during the course of Holy Week. And those events are up on the next slide. They are Palm Sunday today, and Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. And then next Sunday marks the beginning of the Easter season with the greatest event of all time and eternity, which is Easter Sunday. And so I'd like to really get us into the Easter vibe, into the Easter mindset, really thinking about these special five occasions in the coming week. And what I really want to do this morning is to try and make it practical. Like, how can we practically commemorate or remember these events on each day on which these events occur? And we've had a number of readings this morning, thanks to everyone who read those passages. Basically, those passages took us through excerpts of Holy Week. And up on the screen, you can see some of the events that we celebrate. On Palm Sunday, we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem and also Jesus' clearing out of the temple in Jerusalem. And then on Maundy Thursday, we remember the Last Supper and Judas's betrayal and Peter's denial and Jesus' arrest. And then on Good Friday, we're going to remember Jesus' trial and his torture, his humiliation, his crucifixion, and his burial. And then on Holy Saturday, we remember Jesus' descent into the realms of the dead. And then on Easter Sunday, we remember Jesus' resurrection. So it's suffering, it's death, and it's resurrection. And that's the Christian faith. If it were not for these events, there would be no Christianity, and the last 2,000 years would have been a completely different story. Because of these events, because of Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday, we're here today. That's why we're here. There is such a thing as Christianity. There are such things as Christians. And the 2,000 years that have gone past have been what they are. Amen? So I'd really like us to go through this week mindful of these events, because these are the mysteries of our faith. And through faith in Jesus and being born again and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, it is our birthright to celebrate these mysteries. And so what I want to do, what I want to encourage you to do as we head into this week is to read the passages, to read Matthew 21, Matthew 26, 27, and 28. Those passages will take you through the events of Holy Week. They'll help you walk with Jesus, as it were, throughout the week. And with Matthew 23 to 25, those are the teachings that Jesus gave between Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday night. And it's worth reading those as well, because those were Jesus' final teachings during Holy Week, at least according to Matthew's Gospel. But what I'd like to do now is to focus on something a little different. This is like the standard stuff, right? But I want to do something different. I want to look at five side details of each of these five special occasions. And in doing this, I'd like to suggest five practical ways we can commemorate Easter. So these are the five side details on the screen. And they're not, they shouldn't be side details. They really are important details. So the first is the children shouting in the temple courts on Palm Sunday. Then Jesus washing the disciples' feet on Maundy Thursday, then the rich man bearing Jesus' body on Good Friday, then the silence of God on Holy Saturday, and then the woman being the first witnesses of the risen Jesus on Easter Sunday. So these are the five things that I want to ground you in and guard you, or let guard you through Holy Week. Children shouting, Jesus washing, rich man burying, God being silent, and the woman witnessing. So, let's dive into the first one, the children shouting. And this is Matthew 21, verse 15 and 16. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth praise? So today's Palm Sunday. This happened on Palm Sunday. And to commemorate Palm Sunday, I want us to meditate on this fact. Children and even infants are worshippers of God in their own right. Children and infants are worshippers of God in their own right. Here in the scene, we have the chief priests, the teachers of the law, not worshipping God. And yet we have the children worshipping God in the scene. Remember, Jesus did not say, you must become religious in order to enter the kingdom of God. What did he say? You must become like little children to enter the kingdom of God. So profound, isn't it? And so how can we commemorate today, this Palm Sunday? Well, I have one idea. You may have other ideas. But I was just thinking, maybe you should ask a child today this question. Teach me something about worshiping God. You may be surprised at the reply that you get. I encourage you to try it and see what happens. See if a child might teach you something about worshiping God. Amen? Okay, on to Maundy Thursday, to Jesus washing. John 13, verses 3 to 5 and verse 15 say this. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. That happened on Maundy Thursday. And so this coming Thursday, I'd like us to meditate on this fact. All authority and all power kneels and washes the feet of those who will betray him, those who will deny him, and those who will abandon him. I don't know about you, but every time I read this scene or hear this scene, it takes my breath away. On the night before, well, moments before Jesus was betrayed, Jesus does the most menial task reserved for the lowest of servants. I mean, if I told you you had one day to live, what would you do? This is what Jesus does in his last moments to live, or part of his last moments. I wonder what Jesus felt as he washed Judas's feet, knowing, here's my betrayer. I wonder what Jesus felt as he washed Peter's feet, knowing, this guy's going to deny me. And what he felt as he washed the feet of the rest of the disciples, knowing, they're all just going to abandon me. This is so challenging to me because this is not how I think or how I live. It's so challenging. I want to be like this. I want to be like you, Jesus. It's such a powerful picture of humility. And so, how can we practically commemorate Maundy Thursday? Well, I believe that Maundy comes from a word that refers to commandment, a command. And Jesus' command in this occasion was, now you go do this. This is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to be. And so the question then is, whose feet are we going to wash this Thursday? Metaphorically speaking, literally speaking, what menial task can you and I do? The task that is reserved for the lowest of servants. What can we do this Thursday? Think about it. Pray about it. Do it. And see what happens. Move now on to Good Friday, the rich man burying Jesus. Matthew 27, verse 57 to 60 says this. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. This coming Friday, I want us to focus on this fact. A rich man used his wealth and his power to take care of Jesus' body. I have no idea what it might have been like for this rich man to do this. I have to imagine that it took some guts. It took some gall. I mean, before the crucifixion, Jesus' disciples are betraying him, denying him, abandoning him. And here's this rich man after Jesus' crucifixion claiming Jesus, saying, I'll stand up for the body of Jesus. And he's putting his money where his mouth is, as it were. So how can we commemorate this Good Friday? Well, I guess, I mean, by most standards, we are the rich man, right? Australia's like the rich man, as it were, in comparison to most of the world. And so perhaps this Friday we can seek to do something for somebody in need. We can use our wealth, our influence, our authority, our power to help somebody in need. I don't know what that might look like for each one of us individually, but perhaps there's someone that you know of who needs some TLC, some tender loving care. And I would encourage you to try and make it personal. It's really easy to do a bank transfer or write a check, and it's really important to do those things, and we ought to give in that way. But there's something about doing something personally for somebody that is actually transformative or powerfully transformative. Okay, two more events to commemorate. On to Holy Saturday, God's silence. Matthew 27 and 28, what's in between them? Silence. There's nothing on the screen. And that's really what I want us to focus on this coming Saturday. There is no passage to read on Saturday. There is only silence. Silence to commemorate. Stillness, quiet, silence. Jesus is entombed, and the whole world stops and holds its breath, as it were. And so perhaps as we go through on Saturday, we can enter into the silence of God. Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. How might we do this? Well, I encourage you to try and create some space in your day on Saturday just to sit and be silent with God. It might just be for 5 minutes if that's all you can manage. It might be for the whole day if that's something that you can manage. And as I always say, if you don't know what to do in that silence, may I suggest gently repeating the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. So on Saturday, I encourage you to be still and know that God is God. We come finally now to the good news, the uplifting good news. And that is something that has to do with the woman witnessing. Matthew 28, verse 1, 9, and 10 say this. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And then we jump forward. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. Just, you know, dwell in that moment. It's just so full of joy, isn't it? Greetings. There's Mary and Mary. Greetings. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." He's alive. He is risen. And that is the thing that we commemorate every day and informs the way we live all of our lives. But this Sunday coming, I'd like us to focus on this fact. Women were the first evangelists. An evangelist is someone who receives the good news and announces the good news. Mary and Mary received the good news. They were the first to see the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And they were the first to preach the risen Lord Jesus Christ. They took the good news to the men. After the week that we've had in the media about the mistreatment of women by people in power, let us remember that Jesus was way ahead of his time in how he treated women. He was totally radical and ahead of his time. In fact, our culture, I think, both within the church and outside of the church, we're still trying to catch up to Jesus. That's how far Jesus was ahead of his time. And so how can we commemorate this Easter Sunday? Well, the thought that kept coming to me, and I kept pushing aside and going, no, is coming back to me because of what happened earlier. And I had no idea that Neville was going to show a video with Sally Pym in it. She's an evangelist living in Mozambique, preaching the gospel to the people living in Mozambique. And so, you know, her having shown the video, maybe we can next Sunday, like, send her a video. Maybe, you know, we can take a video. Hey, Sally, we want to encourage you. We love you. We believe in what you're doing, and we support you. How would that be, maybe? Well, amen. The other way that I thought we could commemorate next Easter Sunday is to ask this question to a woman with whom you have an appropriate relationship to ask such a question, is simply, tell me your story. And then just shut up and listen. Like, just listen without criticism, without analyzing, without judgment, without trying to give advice. Just listen to that whole story. And afterwards, just say, I've heard you. Thank you. I treasure that, and I will hold your story in my heart. That's another good idea that I had. Well, yeah, I think it's a good idea. So there you have it, a framework for this coming Holy Week. Okay, today being Palm Sunday, give a voice to a child, just like Jesus gave a voice to the children. Give a voice to a child and then take them seriously. Thursday being Maundy Thursday, go and wash someone's feet. Someone's stinky, smelly feet. And I mean, either literally, maybe, or metaphorically. Friday being Good Friday, use your resources to bless another. Jesus used his resources to bless us by dying for us. And then the rich man used his resources to bless Jesus by burying him. Let us use our resources to be a blessing. And then Saturday being Holy Saturday, I encourage us to enter into a period of silence, silent reflection on the death and burial of the Son of God. And then Sunday, being Easter Sunday, we'll take a video for Sally. And then let a woman speak. And let her tell her story and listen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we enter this special time of remembering, please would you help this week be centered around you and your Son and your Spirit, that we might go through our week mindful of what took place 2,000 years ago, that we might be free and that we might live and live in abundance. We praise you and thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. And we receive what you've done with a simple act of faith. That is all we bring, is faith. And even that, a gift. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.